Välkommen till Hästveterinärerna, en podcast från Boehringer Ingelheim Animal Health. I den här podden samtalar vi med specialister från olika områden inom hästmedicinen. Med det gemensamt att de delar vår och din passion för hästarna.
Hej och välkomna till ännu en serie avsnitt från podden Hästveterinärerna. Podden för dig som är veterinär eller djursjukskötare och arbetar med hästar. Jag som pratar heter Maria Wilhelmsson. I de kommande avsnitten ska ni få lyssna på ett samtal som jag hade med Jannis Spanner, veterinär som har specialiserat sig på reproduktion och i synnerhet embryotransfer. Jannis klinik är en av de få i Europa som gör embryotransfer genom metoden Oocyte Pickup och som dessutom har ett ICSI-labb. Vad det är och hur det går till får vi höra om i detta avsnitt.
Jannis Spanner, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background with horses, and also as a vet?
Yes, I'm one of two owners of the company Vet Embryo, which is in the south part of Denmark. My colleague Emil Ransen and I is running a ICSI laboratory and an OPO facility, so we are only working with the assisted reproduction. I graduated back in 2007, so now, and I went to Australia for the first year to do an internship at a clinic called Goulburn Valley Equine Hospital outside Melbourne, where I work with a very famous reproduction specialist, Dr. McKinnon, and I got really interested in all kind of reproduction, so I stayed there for 1 year. And then I started to work at the Højgaard Equine Hospital, which is a large referral hospital in the middle of Denmark. And I was working there for about 11 or 12 years. It was mainly reproduction during the season, but there is always a winter season where there's not much reproduction. We did quite a lot of embryo flushing, and I just got a little bit bored during the winter, and I'm was so interested in the reproduction part, so I decided to move on. And now we're here with this ICSI laboratory in Hellevad in Denmark. So now I'm doing reproduction the whole year round, which is kind of a dream that has.
Also in the winter.
Yes, also in the winter.
Yeah. So, but you were always interested in reproduction also during studies and so on, or?
Yes, I've definitely been there. When I was a student, I was, you know, visiting actually Højgaard in my holidays and worked quite a lot with Rikke Munk. She's a veterinarian at Højgaard Hospital, and she was very inspiring. And this is nearly where I, you know, got the interest right from the beginning. So, yeah, it has been a big part of my life for many years now.
Sounds like it. And we're going to obviously talk about reproduction and more specific embryo transfer today. You said that you were the only laboratory that worked with your specific method. So I'm going to ask you a bit to elaborate on that. But first, for someone who, although maybe unlikely, but if there is someone who's listening who haven't heard about embryo transfer before, could you really short explain to us what is it and why and when would you do it?
Mm. Yes, definitely. So I think it's really important that you understand these words, because embryo transfer is actually just the transfer of the embryo from one mare to another. So what we're working with in our clinic is oocyte pickup, which means that we take the oocytes directly from the mare, and all the fertilization process is done outside the mare, so it's done in the laboratory.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you do what we call embryo flossing, you inseminate the donor mare, so the actually fertilization is happening inside the mare, and then you do your embryo floss, you floss the embryo out, and then you transfer it to a recipient mare. So it's really difficult, very important to understand these different definitions, and it can be a little bit confusing. But that's basically what it's all about. So we are only dealing with OPU, oocyte pickup and ICSI, and of course the axial transfer of the ICSI embryos at vet embryo.
Okay, so yeah, because the process that you refer to as embryo flushing, that would be the more common one, I guess.
Yes, that's a more common one and a much more simple procedure. And it's still extremely useful for some mares, and there are other mares where the oocyte pickup would actually be the best choice. So it really depends on the mare you're working with.
Okay, so tell us a bit more about this, the oocyte pickup and this intracytoplasmic sperm injection, ICSI, that you're working with. Exactly how is it performed?
Yeah, so normally the mares arrive in the morning. We have room for around 30 mares in our stable, so we have donor mares that is staying at our facility for a longer period, for maybe one, two, three, or even more sessions. But normally we start in the morning, and the mare arrives if she's just there for the opposition, and then she goes home again. That's very typical for the sports horses. So she arrives, we sedate her, and put her into a stock, do a thorough cleaning. And what we actually do is that I'm the one doing the oocyte pickup. So I go through the rectum, and then I fix the ovary inside the mare. And then with the other hand, I grasp what we call our OPU guide. And you have to imagine that inside this guide, there is a microconvex probe. So this is the one connected to the ultrasound machine. And we also in the guide has a needle channel. So this guide, we put that into the vagina. So we push that against the vaginal wall. And with my other hand in the rectum, I fix the ovary and press it against the peritoneal side of the abdomen or of the vaginal wall. So we have to put them closely together. So we have to make sure that there is nothing in between the ovary and the peritoneum. And then we inject the needle into the ovary, into the follicle. And we flush the follicle, which means that we fill the fluid with a special OPU fluid, and we empty the follicle and fill it again and empty it again, and we do that 8 to 10 times to make sure that the oocyte comes out. And at the same time, we have to, move the needle a little bit to scrape the edge of the follicle, because in the mare, in contrast to the human beings, the oocyte is very attached to the follicular wall, so it's more difficult to get out. So, and then we move from one follicle to the other, and we empty the ovaries or the follicles in the ovaries completely. And we use a pump to make sure that we get the fluid in and out. And in the end, we have a small bottle with the follicular fluid. And this is the product that we have here after the opposition, and this is what we bring to the ICSI laboratory. And it's just 10 steps away from our OPU facility. And in here, we have to, clean the fluid so it's easy to look at through the microscope. So we filter the fluid and search for the oocytes. And then the oocytes are packed in small vials. And inside the laboratory, everything has to be extremely clean, and we have to pay attention to every detail. So we don't have anyone, going in and out of the laboratory. It has to be very, very clean. They are extremely sensitive, and the actual ICSI procedure is an extremely sensitive procedure. So my colleague Emma, she is filtering the fluid and searching for the oocytes, and then normally we will put them in what we call a holding media, which actually puts the oocytes in a meiotic arrest during the night. And then the day after, we will do the ICSI procedure, or we will put them into maturation media, and they will stay there for around 28 hours, and then we'll do the actual ICSI procedure. And the thing is that they actually tolerate this holding media time very well, and it also makes it possible for us to receive oocytes from other OPU facilities. So, because there are quite a lot of people, not mostly outside our country, that do the oocyte pickup, but they don't have the ICSI facilities. So they
Oh, okay.
send the oocytes to our lab, and then we'll do the maturation and the ICSI, and then we can send the embryos back the veterinarian again, and they'll do the thawing process and transfer the embryos.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds almost a little bit like science fiction.
It is kind of science fiction. Yes, it is. So it's kind of a complicated process, but I try to keep it as simple as possible, even though it's not very simple. So it's always, you know, we are just trying to find out what is it like in the mare, and then we try to do the same in the laboratory with the same hormones and growth factors and same temperature, etc. So there are many small details.
So for how long then can this oocyte survive in this medium?
Yeah, normally we will put them in holding media for 24 hours or for 24 to 30 hours, but they are able to survive for a longer time, definitely. Okay. Just have to make sure about the light and have to stay not too warm, but not too cold. So they are packed in a very, you know, in a special way when we have to, when they send them, you know, across borders. But it's a really good way to be able, you know, to do the OPO and offer that to your clients. But an ICSI laboratory is very, very difficult to set up. So it's better just, you know, to send it to a facility that is used to handling the oocytes. And then you can get the blastocyst back and do the rest of the work. So it's working very well. We have lots of clients in France and Germany and Belgium and so.
So the next step then is this ICSI process.
Yes.
And what happens here?
Yeah, it's kind of computer gaming, I would say. So we have the oocytes now, it's mature. And the first thing we do at the day of the ICSI is that we have to do like a denudation, which means that we have to remove the cumulus cells that are around the oocytes to be able to inject the sperm cells. So we first of all, we have to clean the semen. So the owner has to decide what semen do they want to use. And the advantage with this process is that we use mostly frozen semen, and we just caught a very, very small bit, like a corner of a chewing gum. It's a very small bit of the straw from most of the stallions. And then we are able to thaw them because we're only using one sperm cell. And as you know, there are millions of sperm cells in one straw. So it's not necessary to do a big cut there. And then Emma, she is doing kind of, we call it a Tinder for semen. She had to sit with her eyes and choose the best sperm cell, the one you really believe is the best one. So we have a certain media which we put the sperm cells into. It's called sperm catch. That slows down the sperm cells so we are able to catch them. Otherwise, it swim way too fast for us to catch them. So she inject them up in her ICSI needle. And then she had one joystick, which is actually connected to one pipette that fixed the oocyte. And then she has another joystick that is actually connected to the ICSI pipette, where she has the sperm cells. And then she put she fixed the oocytes and inject the sperm cell into the oocyte. And that's it. And then we put the fertilized oocytes into an incubator. And hopefully we'll get a blastocyst after 7 to 10 days. And so, we know that the quality of the blastocyst that develops fast are the ones with the best quality. So we want them to develop as fast as possible.
Yeah. Okay. So it really then what is sort of the limitation here is both the number of oocytes, I guess. Then if you only have like 7 or 8, you only have 7 or 8 shots to...
And even actually a bit less, because it's not normally we would say that when we do the OPO, around 60% of the follicles, this is where we'll find the oocyte. So it's very dependent on the size of the follicles. So that's why, you know, we always screen the mares. We want the mares to have lots of smaller follicles to be able to scrape the whole wall. Yeah. So that's one thing. And the other thing is that around 60% of the oocytes do actually mature, because you have to imagine that when we're in the mare, they are in different states, you know, in developmental states. Some of them are juvenile and we are not able to mature them in the laboratory, and some of them will be immature and some of them will be more mature and some will be too mature or even dead. So it's not all of them that we are actually able to inject. It will be around 60%, but it differs a lot from one mare to another.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the quality of the semen or that specific sperm cell will be sort of, the process will be depending on this.
But you know, when we are in the laboratory, we are able to do a lot more than we are when if we're just going to, you know, inseminate a certain amount of semen into the mare. So we are able to sort the semen in a completely other way than we can when we're inseminating the mare. So normal insemination, we'll just have a look at the semen, see what does it look like, the morphology, the way it actually moves. But in a laboratory, we are able to sort the semen. We have a special chip where we can actually clean the semen, and it actually sort the semen so we have the sperm cells with a low DNA fragmentation rate, and this is what we're aiming for. This is something that you can't see with your eyes, so you know, so we can do much more, and it also means that we are dealing with some stallions with a very, very low fertility, and some of them is not able to produce pregnancies in real life. They're only able to produce pregnancies by ICSI, and others, you know, are dead now, so we have only got a certain amount of frozen semen available. So it's really important that we take care of that, and we only use as little as possible. So there are quite a lot of advantages here.
Wow. That's really fascinating. That must mean that you can also, it's not only when you have a really special mare that you want a foal from, it's maybe also when you have a stallion that you can't get a foal from in normal insemination.
Yeah, we use actually semen from, I think was 88 or something the other day, which is kind of
Wow.
fascinating, and frozen in a very like oldest way, and yeah, but it's still producing pregnancies. So
Wow,
yeah.
that's fascinating. So, obviously, that's one of the pros regarding this process compared to other. But if you discuss it in general, what are the pros and cons with these methods that you use compared to the embryo flushing?
Yeah. So if we look at both procedures, this procedure, oocyte pickup, is a more invasive procedure. It's not just a walk in the park. It has to be done by a very experienced personnel, because it's, you know, we're using a needle and we're putting it into the peritoneum and into the ovary. So it's an invasive procedure. But whereas when you look at embryo flushing, it's non-invasive. We're not using any needles. We're just inseminating the mares and flushing it through the cervix. So that's the difference. What you can say is that when you do the embryo flushing, you have to do quite a lot of repeating ultrasound examinations of the donor mares to make sure when is she in heat, has she ovulated, what does she look like after ovulation. So there are repeating sessions where we have to look at the mares, and we have to put our arms in the rectum. And you know, each time we put the arm in the rectum, there's always a chance that something can go wrong, even though it's very low. So here the mare is sedated, and we'll be working with her for around 40 minutes, and then she'll be out in the stock. You know, and the complication rate in our hand is less than 1 or 2%. And when I say complication, I mean that the mare will have a slightly fever the day after, or be a slightly depressed for 1 or 2 days. So we try to be extremely careful, and this is, you know, we always have to talk about and have some ethical consideration, and we definitely have that. We have a certain amount of sedation, you know, and we never, you know, go higher, because you know, we want the mares to be absolutely fine afterwards, start eating in an hour or 1.5, and can go home in 2 or 3 hours after the session and be completely fine the day after. It's really, really important. So there are mares that we say to the owner that we're not able to do here, because you know, she's feeling that we are there, that we're using the needle, and this is definitely not the way it should be. And also, if we talk about compare the younger and the older mares, with the young mares, it's difficult, or it can be difficult to move the ovaries around. You know, I have to be able to grab the ovary and put it against the vaginal wall. And some of the young mares, and you know, it's really tight, and you can't really do that without causing pain reaction. And no matter how much sedation you give them, in my opinion, they will still feel something. And so I always talk to the owner, say, yes, you're bringing a younger mare. I'm not sure I can do it, and you ha I'll just tell you that if she's feeling anything and I feel that I can't, you know, cover her reaction, then I'll just put her out in the stock again. So I think it's really important that we all remember that it's you know, we're dealing with live animals. So with respect for that, there are many young mares that tolerate this procedure completely fine, and otherwise embryo flushing is a very good alternative.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about more about the mares in the next episode. But I'm curious about the results for this process, and also compared to the ordinary embryo flushing, what is the success rate and what is considered a success?
I think there are our first success is, of course, that we are actually producing an embryo or blastocyst. Yeah. So, but our main goal is to have a live foal the following year or whenever people want to transfer the embryo. But the blastocyst rate, it's around 60% of the sessions results in one or more blastocysts. And, you know, we have people are actually, because sometimes there are mares actually give 9 embryos in one session, which is kind of a lot. But you just have to remember, there's still a small percentage. But people, you know, look at that and think, oh, I've only got 1 or 2 embryos. And it's nearly come to a state where people are not satisfied with that. Mm. And if we compare that with embryo flush, you know, we're lucky if we get 1 embryo. It's very rarely that we get 2 embryos. But and when we do the OPO and the ICSI, there is a higher chance of getting more blastocysts at each session. But you should kind of say that around 60% of the cysts result in 1 or 2 embryos. And there are mares that always produce lots of embryos. No matter which semen you use, they'll still give you 3, 4, 5, 6 or even more embryos per sessions. And then there are other mares that are extremely difficult, where we have to try maybe 3 or 4 times before we get an embryo. And also change stallion. And the thing is that there are so many factors. There are so many factors that affect this process. So there's both the quality of the mare, the quality of the oocytes, you know, the age of the mare, which semen are you using? So you know, it's really difficult to say that this is actually the quality of the mare's oocytes. It could be the semen as well, or that semen is not a good combination with this mare. So just have to bear that in mind.
So the first victory then is a vital embryo.
Yeah.
Are these possible to store for the future? You can freeze them, right? And
keep them.
Because, you know, the advantage is that we can do that, this procedure during both the winter and the spring. So we do it the whole year round, and we don't want to transfer embryos in the winter time. So we vitrify the embryos. This is a special freezing procedure. So you hear about slow freezing or vitrification, and in our laboratory we use a vitrification procedure. So when the blastocyst is there, we put them in liquid nitrogen, protected by cryoprotectiva. And then we store them in containers. And, you know, when the recipient mare is ready, we transfer them. So if we compare with embryo flushing, we don't have, that we have to have 1, 2, or 3 recipients ready for each donor mare. So we'll just transfer the embryos when we have the best recipient ready. So that's a nice advantage to have there. And they tolerate the process of vitrification very, very well because they are very, very small. It's a very good way to store them. They can be stored for 1, 2, or 10 years or even more.
Mm. Thank you so much for telling us all about these fascinating processes. It was really interesting to hear. In the next episode, we're going to be talking about a little bit more about the mares, both the donors and the recipients. But thank you for now.
Thank you.